Call it Park Bubba Sparks.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. And tomorrow's a big day at Santa Anita, the big cup
race. Yeah, man.
Month they call that race tomorrow? The big cap.
Yeah, the big cap.
The big cap, man.
You'll be out there?
Yes, it's the grade one Santa Anita Park race 9. And it is for 4-year-olds and upward.
Oh, that's cute.
The purse is $1 million.
Whoa.
$1 million. So get out to Santa Anita tomorrow, man.
So basically, in a horse's life, between 1 and 4...
Right.
It's just all training? I mean, is that...
No. They start racing at 2. You have to be a 3-year-old to run in the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They're only 3-year-olds.
I see.
And every horse turns a year old, another year older, on January 1st, no matter when you were born.
Oh, I see. So they all almost have the same birthday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they all have the same birthday, January 1st.
So those Kentucky Derby horses, I think, is it 20, 25 horses sometimes in the Derby?
Sometimes, yeah.
They're all 3-year-olds.
Yep.
Okay, I didn't know that. I learned something from you every night, my
Thank
friend.
Thank you very much.
All right. And tomorrow it'll be 4-year-olds and up.
Right.
And what's...
Well, there's a big 3-year-old race as well in the 7th race, $200,000 purse for 3-year-olds. And that usually is like the beginning of the Kentucky Derby. Whoever wins that race, if it's an impressive win, they're looking at the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, they're instantly being considered. What is too old, buddy? What is like, I mean, you know, four, five?
Too old to run anymore?
Right. I mean, when they kind of take them out of racing.
You don't see a lot of horses over 9 or 10.
Oh, God, that'd be real old, right?
Well... Mm-hmm. You know, maybe 10.
Really? I wouldn't have guessed that old.
Yeah, but you don't see a lot of... I mean, it's just too hard on them.
Right, right.
So, but yeah, 4-year-old and upward tomorrow.
And then that horse, is most I've ever asked you about horses, but I'm for some reason interested. That horse that stops running at 10 years old, the trainer that loves it and the owners that love it and everything, they then provide a home for it. It lives in a barn like a regular horse somewhere, right?
No, they shoot it and it turned into glue.
Stop
no,
it.
They if it's a, they'll take it out to stud if they can.
Right,
but they won't wait until 10. If that thing wins the Derby,
they'll start right away.
And
right.
The Triple Crown, that horse may never run again. They might run it in the Breeders' Cup, but then they'll put that horse out to stud, and that horse might make $100,000 or $200,000 every time he has sex with another horse.
Whoa,
a lot of money.
And it will live. How
It'll
many
live
years?
In beautiful in Kentucky
right.
or in
the bluegrass
in Southern California, but beautifully.
But to the age of
they could live till they're 25.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
Timmy, 30-ish. How about that horse, John Henry?
Yeah, how old was that?
That horse was like 50. I think it was it was like 30. I'll look it up right now.
Oh, you will? Oh, great. All right, it's 9 o'clock. That must mean news with Robin, everybody.
Now
C-74
live from high atop the Miracle Mile. Here's Robin with the news.
All right, Robin, what's up with the news tonight, baby?
Such a full week. Well, first, a stark new Hillary Clinton ad portrays her as the leader voters want on the phone when crisis occurs in the middle of the night.
Whoa.
Yes, and Barack Obama retorted that his Democratic rival already had her, quote, red phone moment, and it helped draw the U.S. into a misbegotten war. Here is a bit of audio of Obama's response to what he describes as a fear-based ad campaign.
Oh, 159. Here we go. More politics, man.
And I will never see the threat of terrorism as a way to scare up votes because it's a threat that should rally the country around our common enemies. That is the judgment we need at 3 a.m. And that's the judgment that I am running for as president of the United States of America.
I'm running for that judgment. By the way, ultimately, when guys are great orators and they give great speeches, at some point they put sentences together that don't quite really.
That's not bad. Listen,
I will never.
I'm running for judgment.
See the threat of terrorism as a way to scare up votes, because it's a threat that should rally the country around our common enemies. That is the judgment we need at 3 a.m., and that's the judgment that I am running for as president of the United States.
It's a little clunky. All but right. By the way, that's a man who has not seen the has not seen at all in his life crisis in government. He has not solved any governmental crises or whatever it is. He has not.
He hasn't created any either.
No, I don't think he's created any either. Well, I mean, with just a few years in the Senate, I mean, how much can you expect that he has actually been involved in? And the answer is not much. His opponent, Senator Clinton, on the other hand, has been spent 8 years in the White House, seeing firsthand how difficult that job is, and seeing firsthand that anything can come up at a moment's notice. And also, she has affected change. I mean, she has been instrumental for her entire adult life in bringing about the change that she talks about, specifically change for children in the areas of education and health care and women. And that's just one of the reasons I support Hillary Clinton.
All right. What else is in the news, Robin?
Well, on the other side of the Democratic race, in Texas today, former President Bill Clinton campaigned on his wife's behalf by calling Hillary the right kind of change.
Oh, boy.
And here's some audio of husband Bill campaigning for his wife, C-166.
All right, Bill Clinton, still on the campaign trail running for president.
Well, he's campaigning for Hillary.
All right.
So what you have to decide is, how do you choose between someone who says, I am the change, I embody change because I have not been involved in the struggles of the 90s of this decade, and no one who was involved should possibly be president because we have to start all over again. Hillary says, you ought to choose me because the experience I have is making change. I have been a change maker all my life. I believe I am called to make other people's lives better.
All right. I'll miss that guy.
Well, you're not going to have to miss him. He's right. I mean, to talk about change and to talk about hope for change is one thing. But sitting right next to him on that debate stage, you have a woman who has actually brought about the change. And that's a really important distinction. And I want to say this in all seriousness. You can talk about change and hope for change and want the country to be a better place. And wanting all of that and hoping for all of that is great. But it takes governmental skills, it takes knowledge of the government's inner workings, it takes political ability to make that change actually a reality.
Yeah.
And that's what Hillary Clinton has done. She hasn't talked about the change only, she has made it happen.
Hey, let me ask you this as an honest question.
As her husband did. Her husband was a change maker, too.
Let's say that that Obama's heat continues and she has to bow out. Let's just say that happens.
Uh-huh.
It's a possibility.
Uh-huh.
Does that marriage survive?
Oh, the Clinton marriage?
You think?
Sure, of course.
You think so?
Yes. Yes, I think they have...
stare at each other?
I guess they do what most couples do.
But if they were in the White House, they'd be too busy to talk to each other.
Well, I think they'd be pretty busy anyway. She's a United States senator. He's a former president with his foundation. He's going globetrotting, you know, doing all sorts of things for work for charity. So they're very busy people. I mean, the perception of them just sitting around in the event she doesn't win is wrongheaded because she's only.
She'll keep active.
Well, she's a United States senator in her second term. I mean, she's a leader of the Democratic Party, even if she doesn't win.
They'll take their Centrum and Ensure in the morning together?
Whatever. I don't know what they take. But I think they're committed to each other. And if their marriage survived what it survived, I think it's a credit to them.
Hey, did you know that a recent Time poll...
And for their daughter, I would assume they kept it together. And who could ever fault husband and wife for keeping it together for the benefit of their children?
A recent Time poll said 72% of the youth, 18 to 36-year-olds, are interested in this year's presidential race.
Yeah, it's a historic number, much higher than ever before.
Yeah, 72%.
Yep, young people are interested in this election.
Now, the youngins are interested.
Yeah, the issue for, Senator Obama, he gets a lot of the, they're overwhelmingly Democrats, by the way, those young people. I just say that because
they are.
Because they are. And then the issue, though, for the candidate is, can I sustain that energy and that momentum? Because young people sometimes, you know, get into something,
I know. They'll be like, oh my God, it's November. I voted for Barack back in February. I got to vote again?
Right. So they'll lose interest and they'll, you know, as young people sometimes do, kind of peter out a little bit.
Yeah, maybe the summer will come around.
Right, they get a new boyfriend.
To the ocean.
Yeah, you're hanging out with a new chick, Barack who, you know, so... You know.
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Yes. Well, this is one of my favorite stories of the day.
Oh, perfect.
Republican presidential hopeful Senator John McCain almost called himself a liberal.
What?
Yes. Yesterday, getting ahead of himself as he contrasted with the Democratic candidates. McCain was answering a question about whether he would aggressively campaign against Democrat Senators Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and then slipped and called himself a liberal.
Whoa.
He corrected himself immediately, and here's some audio of the slip up.
All right.
M188.
McCain calling himself a liberal. Oh, bubble.
I'm a proud conservative liberal conservative Republican. Hello. Easy there.
Everybody who's like on the far right of the Republican side has always called him liberal.
Right, and they went there. See, he said it. It slipped out, but he said it.
I said it, man.
I'm a proud conservative liberal conservative Republican. Hello, easy there.
That's funny.
Easy there, easy tiger.
Good sense of humor.
Yes.
But, Rush Limbaugh is sitting.
I'm a
there
liberal.
Going, my friends, it's all I guess we ever needed to hear.
I'm a proud conservative liberal.
Boom.
Yeah, it's well. You know.
All right.
Hey, look, it's okay. It's a good thing to be.
Maybe he is liberal.
It's a good thing to be. I know he doesn't want these voters to think that he is, but you know, being liberal is a fine thing to be. I would imagine.
Being a Democrat's a fine thing to be. Being liberal is not a fine thing to be. I don't like liberal Democrats. I like Democrats, but and
you don't believe in liberalism?
No, I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why?
Well, you don't either.
Sure, I do.
No, you've proven over and over that you really don't.
Well, sure, I do.
You're not a real far left liberal
but
Democrat.
You can call. I'm not. Probably not, but you can call me a liberal. I'm okay with that word. And liberalism has done great things for this country. Liberalism brought us Social Security. It brought us Medicare. Liberalism brought us a Civil Rights Act. Liberalism brought the right of women to vote. I mean, that's all progressive liberal at the time.
Yeah, but what have they done lately?
So it's not a bad word at all.
What about lately?
What have liberals done lately?
Yeah. Like in the last 10 years.
Well, for the most part, liberals have brought to the forefront the issue of climate change. Liberals have done that in the last 10 years.
Which is a hoax.
Right, Dr. Conway, I understand. Oh, that's your diploma on the wall. Right, that's it. Nice frame, I see.
You're gonna feel like a fool when we go into a total global freezing in about 20 years.
Well, I'll be bundled up.
You're gonna
up.
Be the first guy to buy a jacket and bitch about the weather.
Bill Clinton was a liberal, and he was kind of a centrist. But I'm not afraid of that word. I think the word liberals, I think it's a good thing to be liberal. I think you need...
The liberals also strong. Took away welfare.
Welfare was not. No, that's not true. Welfare.
Didn't Clinton?
He reformed welfare.
Well, he reformed welfare and
right.
reduced it radically.
Which is what most Americans want. And I would assume you, as a Republican conservative, would want that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so don't get on the guy for doing something good.
Well, I'm just saying.
Right. By definition, the conservative person, by definition, is.
For more taxes. Liberals are for more taxes. Is that right?
No, I was going to say, by definition, the conservative is less likely to change, less a fan of change.
Right. We like the way that things are.
Yeah, for the most part. And of course, that's a very broad brush, but generally speaking.
Are you for higher taxes?
It depends. I am generally...
I'm generally
not for higher taxes. However, if we have, as we...
But you don't like tax cuts.
Do you want an answer?
For the last 15 years, there's been a tax cut every year.
Do you want me to answer?
No, because I know the answer you're going to give about fiscal
responsibility. Right,
and I don't like hearing that because
but you need to hear it. You Republicans need a good talking to about.
No,
stop looking
please,
at
don't
like
talk
that,
to
Brian.
Me as a liberal about fiscal responsibility. Okay.
Okay. Well, don't ever as a Republican, don't ever, ever, ever again think that as a Republican after the 8 years of Ronald Reagan and the 8 years of George Bush, don't think for a second you can ever with an ounce of credibility talk about fiscal responsibility as a Republican.
And I'm just talking about taxes.
Yep. Oh, Tim, you are see, this, so this right is
why, you brought up fiscal responsibility. You asked me about taxes. Do I think
this is why? Listen,
no,
to
no,
me.
No, hold
this
on.
This is
no,
why
no.
I don't think you're really a liberal.
Do
I think you're a very conservative guy.
Oh well,
I really do, okay. And let me tell you why. Okay, you're not. You're for paying as little as you can in taxes.
Well,
You tell your accountant that you want to pay as little as you can in taxes. You don't overpay your taxes.
I don't overpay my taxes,
when Bush gave wealthy people like yourself a tax cut.
I thought it was a bad policy.
But you spent the money on things for your home.
I don't remember what I spent the money on.
You didn't give it back to the government.
No, maybe I gave some of it to charity.
Yeah, but you kept it though. I mean, it was yours. You could have given it to the government, but you didn't.
The issue, I wouldn't give this government a penny more than it demands of me because they don't know what to do with it. Because George Bush, our president, for whom I have respect, is like a 10-year-old who just hit the lottery. He doesn't know at all what to do with this money. He spends it, and Congress too. It's not. All right, Robin.
Do you think
not just? You know, let me make this point, please. It's not just President Bush. It's all of them spending.
They spend too much.
They're spending too much, and I'm going to tell you something. We had, thank you to Bill Clinton, we had in the year 2000. I know it's hard for a lot of people to remember this or believe it, but in the year 2000, only 8 years ago, we had a surplus. The government actually was in the money. The government was bringing in more money than it was spending. It was historic, and. President Clinton turned it around from historic deficits, Reagan-Bush historic deficits, to historic surpluses. And what happened in these last 8 years? The surplus is gone, and we're worse off than we were before.
Brian, please.
That's irresponsible leadership. Now, I don't blame it simply on George Bush. I'm just simply saying that if you're an American who cares about the future health, financial health, and otherwise of your country, it is irresponsible for a leader to spend money like that.
And what are you doing about it?
I'm voting.
Are you giving more taxes than you should?
No, I guess I do need to repeat myself. I wouldn't give this president a penny more than he demanded.
It's the government. Because, it's not this president.
Well, this president submits a budget and has a lot to do with spending policy, as all presidents do. He's not the only one.
All right, let me get another issue with you.
Okay, so we'll move on from that one. But,
no, because you'll never
what do you want
I'll never
saying?
Get it through to you, what? The hypocrisy of you complaining about the tax cuts and then taking advantage of all of them.
Tim, I
know you don't understand the hypocrisy there, but everybody listening does.
I understand what you're trying to suggest. However, I did not vote for President Bush. But you did
use those tax cuts to your advantage.
It was my taxes were done by my accountant as they always are. For example, Bill Clinton, I saw a tax increase. I paid more under Bill Clinton.
That's right.
And you know what I did when he came up for re-election? I voted for him again. So that blows your theory out
of
the water.
No, it doesn't.
He cost me money. His tax policies cost me money. But because
you could tell your accountant, I don't want to take the tax cuts. I want to give the money to the government. And you decide not to do that.
But because I thought that President Clinton's policies were good for the country, bad for me because I had to pay a little more, I voted for him anyway because I thought it was good for the country. There's a difference between how does this impact me and how does this impact my country and the future and future generations.
Okay, let me go on to a homeless issue.
Okay, sure.
In downtown Los Angeles, the police arrest and can move the homeless off the sidewalks if they're sleeping in front of like a business or somebody's.
Right. And what would I do if they were in front of my house?
And you said that the homeless should have the right to live down there and sleep where they can. Well, but if the homeless were sleeping in front of your house, you'd call the cops.
What I said was there needs to be a compassionate society needs to care about where these people sleep, why they're sleeping there, and needs to really make that any local government should make that a focal point of their.
I know, but you said on this station that you applauded the ACLU in defending the homeless's right.
I do.
To sleep in front of businesses and homes
at 3 a.m. Who's there
in downtown Los Angeles? But if they slept in front of your place, you said you would call the police.
No, I said I'd hit them with a shovel. Is what I said. I said I'd hit them with a shovel. But what we need is we need greater compassion for people who are in.
And maybe not hit them with a shovel?
In dire straits. Of course, I said that in jest.
All right.
But don't be so nasty to liberals and say that they're.
I'm not. I'm just saying I don't think you are a liberal. I think you're more conservative than you think. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I just think you are.
We need to go to break.
I'm just
whatever your opinion is fine.
And you can accuse me of being liberal, and I wouldn't care.
I'm going to accuse you of anything.
All right. Do we got to take a break, and then we'll come back with more news with Robin. It's extended into another break.
Yeah, man.
Because of the heated conversation here between these two radio bulls. All right. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. More with the news with Robin after the short break. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Bad timing. Pizza's here, man.
That's all right. You know,
all work. Right, Robin continues with us. What's in the news, Robin?
Or Randy Wang could go.
Or what right. else is in the news, Robin?
Randy could go take care of that downstairs. Well, finally...
It's the only show that stops for pizza.
Well, I mean, it just we're going back on. Robin's getting ready to read her final story, and we get the call that the pizza has arrived. I think Randy Wang is the person to go get it.
All right,
because Jerry's very busy. Look how busy Jerry is.
Yeah, he's biting those fingernails. All right, anything else? What's going on here, baby?
Finally, talk show host Larry King will have pop singer Janet Jackson on his show tonight, and we are lucky enough to have a clip of what you can see tonight of Miss Jackson attempting to teach Larry how to hip-hop dance.
Oh.
144.
All right, here we go. Larry King learning to dance.
At the same time, come across your body with the other one, with the other hand. Come across, put this hand.
Come across your body.
Wait.
Dance,
no.
Dance.
No, put this, relax this one. Bring this one across your chest.
What is this dance called?
This is the dance in the video.
The dance of the video?
Yes. This is not what it's called, but that's the... Wait, no, you're not hugging yourself, Larry.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, I'd like to see the visual of this.
I saw the visual before the show. Imagine, if you will, if you've ever been to like a nursing home and it's like recreation time and maybe they bring in like a dance instructor to teach some of the residents at the nursing home how to dance.
Right.
That's exactly what it looked like.
It's quite disturbing.
It was really, really bad.
All right.
Larry King, man. Larry looked good. He's wearing jeans. He dresses young.
He coordinated his suspenders and tie well with the jeans.
Oh, he's a pretty hip guy.
Yeah, but he couldn't dance. He could. Not that I could.
Some across your body. Some across your body.
Wait. Some across your body. Wait.
Dance.
Just relax.
I'm a struggling Jew.
Dance. No, put this relax. Come across your body. Come across your body.
Dance.
Come across your body.
Dance.
Come across your body.
There he goes.
I think we could do some sort of mix. I think we could create some sort of Larry King mix using just the dance. What's that? Pump Up the Volume. Yes, by Mars. You know that song, Mars? Pump Up the Volume. Dance. We'll take them out, put Larry King in, and we'll have just a great song to play on the radio, Jerry. Let's have that by Monday, bud.
God dang if he doesn't do it, though.
You know what? We've given him a great idea, and, you know, just if he doesn't do it, then
can't teach that.
We'll have it done in like 10 minutes, actually. Randy's going to do it.
Yeah, you take Larry King, and you put dance.
What? Wait.
Dance.
No. Come across your body. Come across your body.
Dance.
No. Come across your body. Wait.
Dance. The dance of the video.
Yes.
Throw that in.
The dance of the video.
Pump up the volume. Pump up the volume. And then you have him go dance.
Dance.
And he goes.
Watch you.
No, you don't
want
to watch
you. Let me watch you and maybe I'll get an idea. Let me watch you.
No, you don't want to watch you.
Okay. Let me watch you. Let me watch you. Let me watch you.
That's all you do. You see?
Oh, got quiet.
Okay. This.
No. Push this out.
There he goes. Larry King, everybody.
The password is bad producing. What they should have done was just had at the very end, they had Larry waltzing And kind of, and it was nice. It was kind of sweet with Janet Jackson. They should have had Larry, if he was going to dance with Janet Jackson, just waltz with her like he does with his wife probably. You know, it was nice and it looked nice. Or have Janet Jackson just dance on her own.
Yes.
Or bring out a couple of dudes who are in the video and the chicks in the video to dance with her. Not Larry King. He can't dance. He's an old Jew.
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
That's what's happening.
All right, Robin in the news, everybody.
From America Mile in Los Angeles, Robin with the news.
All right, real quick, I got to tell you, a friend of mine went to Paula Casino.
Oh.
And his wife was there and his mom and a lot of other people. There's probably about eight of them.
Oh, so like a family trip?
Yeah, and I don't want to say the guy's name. I don't want to get him in trouble. The family might be listening. But his wife says, I'm going to go gamble. Can I have $20?
Oh.
And he only had hundreds on him. He goes, here, just take 100. He was playing the video slot machines.
Right.
And he goes, here, just take 100 and go gamble. And she goes, no, I only want $20. Mm. He goes, well, just take the 100 and bring him back change. I don't want to get a change. He goes, F it. Throws it into the video machine, video poker machine next to him, bets $80, loses, and gives her the voucher for 20. There you go.
That's great.
There's $20.
Yeah. Now you got 20. All right.
That's classic stuff, man.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
All right. We got to take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll tell you the ending of this Portland game. The Portland Trailblazers are currently beating the Lakers by 3 points with about 8 minutes left or so.
I don't even think it's you have to put on your glasses.
Maybe it's 2 minutes. I don't know.
Oh, it's 7 minutes.
7 minutes left. All right. Yeah, 7 minutes and 14 seconds left.
No, 750.
And now it's 95-96. The Los Angeles Lakers are losing by one. And we'll come back and tell you the final. But if they win this, I think it's like 11 in a row.
Yeah, it's not
it's
good.
A lot.
It's not good. It's not good.
They could win with you on the team. They could. It's a good team.
But this is right now doesn't, you know, is not so promising.
Well, they're only behind by 1 point.
I know, but Portland looks real good, don't they? Doesn't Portland look real good?
They do look yep. They are a good team this year. All right, it's Conway and Whitman live on 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman show, and we're live on 97.1 Free FM. It's Friday.
Yeah, man.
At about 45 minutes after 9 o'clock, 15 minutes of the hour.
Oh, 15 minutes after the hour.
And we're going to start this a little early because I'd like to get it rolling. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Whitman with Totally Open Phones, everybody's favorite.
All right, man. It is Friday night, gang, and jumping in a little bit early, man. So we want to take those phones and open them up, man. It's Totally Open Phones, man. Anything you want to talk about, gang? Anything we talked about? Anything we talked about but didn't talk enough about? Perhaps something you wanted to talk about that we didn't hit on but you thought we were going to talk about it, pal? 20-9710, man. Or maybe you have a Triple H Jones gang. And I tell you, man, a lot of these dudes, man, listen to this goddamn show, have a Triple H Jones, man. It's Triple H, man. 520-9710. All right, man. God damn.
All right, it's 11 o'clock. We got to get out of here. All right, anything you'd like to talk about? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Awesome Gem is the favorite tomorrow in the $1 million race. Race 9 at Santa Anita.
Will you be out there?
Yes, I will. I'll be out there with my daughter.
Now, can I ask you a question? When you go out on the weekend with Sophia...
Stop at it.
Is she still listening to Like Us?
Yeah.
Oh, Bubba.
It was embarrassing today, though. We were at a restaurant... And she dropped some of her, she was having chicken strips.
Right.
And she drops them on the floor and she went, aw, F. But she used the whole F word.
Well,
I don't think you can have that, Tim. I think you need to correct that.
Why? That was hysterical.
All right. So when you go out like you will tomorrow, you take your daughter out to the track. What does Jen do? I mean, does she just sit at home waiting for the two gamblers?
She's at home betting TVG. She's at home booking those bets for me. No, she's she has plans with a friend tomorrow.
All right. She's waiting for the gamblers to come back.
Her fat friends, Yenta friends from the west side.
Hey.
Well, they always tell her everything I say about her on the air. So
well, they might be listening right now. And
who cares? All right, let's talk to Jeff and Irvine. Jeff, you're on 97.1 Free FM. What would you like to say, sir?
How you doing, boys?
All right.
Hey, Jeff.
Jimmy, I'm looking forward to tomorrow night.
Yeah, you playing in it?
I am.
We got you a seat, huh?
Yes, you were. And I can't wait. I can't wait to go play at the Commerce.
Yeah, man. Tomorrow night. I'll be down there about 6:30 or so. And Jerry Wyszowski will be walking the red carpet with me, hand in hand.
Yeah, have you choreographed that? I mean, you guys are going to do that, right?
I actually might wear a tux tomorrow.
Now, see, I was wondering. A friend of mine asked me if I was going to wear Calvin Klein or not. And I said, I don't know. I might not wear underwear at all.
Hey-oh.
All right.
All right, dude. We'll see you down there, man.
All right, thanks, Jimmy.
All right, there he goes. Jeff and Irvine. Tomorrow night's the big World Poker Tour tournament. It starts... I guess you can sign up at 3, from 3 to 7. It starts at 7, right?
Yeah, you can get there. It says you can get there at 3 and sign up all the way till 7.
Jerry, do you think you'll get there early, play a few hands?
No.
What time will you get there?
I'll probably get there at like 5, I guess.
5 o'clock?
Just to like hang out.
Eat a lot of that free food?
I'll probably eat some food.
Go to
little to-go box.
The Arena Bar and Grill down there?
Possibly. But actually, Tim, what you're going to wear a tux tomorrow?
I'm thinking about it, yeah.
I'm wearing Vera Wang. So, we should look good going down that red carpet.
you look more like Vera Jimenez. All right. David in Studio City, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
What up, you pimp?
Hey.
What's going on, Brian?
Hey, dude.
Oh, hi, David. How are you?
Good. Hey, check this out. Hey, Tim, you thought about switching it up? It could be the Tim and Jeff show and the John and Brian show. And
perfect.
But they don't come in tonight. I mean, it's Gretchen tonight.
Bad vibes. Mark in Hawaiian Gardens, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, I would like to play Will Danny Blow It, please.
Will Danny Kill It?
Kill It!
You know, we can't play that anymore. Hey, you know what I heard, Randy, though? I heard that Danny got really pissed off today on a show at around 2 o'clock. Did you hear that?
Pissed off at us?
Yeah, one of his callers, I believe. But somebody said it was great radio. All right, you know where it is? Okay.
Oh, wow. Right. Now that coming up after 10 o'clock, that is a tease.
Oh, it's going to be great, yeah.
Did he go off on us?
No, he didn't go off on us. He went off on the caller, but I heard he went ape-ass. I mean, he really went ballistic on a caller. All right, we'll have that audio for you in the 10 o'clock hour.
Yeah, and the game was Will Danny Kill It?
We don't play that anymore.
Right. Will Danny Blow It is another game that's a totally different deal.
Stay tuned for the abortion of comedy.
All right, let's talk to Gil in Riverside. You're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you, sir?
All right, Tim. Hey, fellas, I wanted to know what your opinion is if Hillary loses the election. Do you think she'll stay with Bill? And also, can Whitman answer me in his best Tom Likas? Thank you.
Yes, I do. I believe they will stay together. Yes, I do. Thank you.
That's what he wanted, right?
The Hill Dog. Now, this is her last weekend, right?
This is not her last... This is the
before
last...
Before the big event.
Right. This is the last weekend of campaigning before two big primaries on Tuesday. There's four states that'll be voting on Tuesday, but the two big ones are Texas and Ohio. That'll be on Tuesday.
And right.
And there are some people that believe, and...
You're one of them.
I am one of them, that if she loses both of them...
She's out.
That it's going to be real tough for her to make a case that she should be the nominee if she loses Texas and Ohio. However, if she wins both of those states and you add those to the dozen states or so she's won already, big, big, big important states, then I think a case could be made for Hill Dog. For Senator Clinton.
All right, we got the Larry King dance ready?
Yeah, apparently it's not the exact song
Let's
that Brian asked
it.
For, but it's good, though.
All right, here it is. Larry King dancing.
Dance, dance, dance.
Come across your body.
What is this dance called? The dance of the video. Dance, dance, dance.
Come across your body.
Dance, dance, dance. I don't know what I'm doing.
That's very good.
All right, very good.
All right.
Dance, dance, dance. Man. All
right. Patrick and Ventura, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, I just got a question about tomorrow's races. I call, I think, like once every 2 weeks or something. I want
to
know what your picks are in the three races.
All right. He got a pen?
I know him. I know the names.
All right.
I looked over the card. I just want to see what you think. I want you to give me two in each race.
7th, 8th, and 9th, right?
Yep. I like that. I kind of want to single that model horse.
All right. I'll give you one horse in each one of them.
Yeah.
In the 7th race, number 1. The 8th race, number 1.
I like the Warmonger.
Yeah, Warmonger. And the 9th race, number 5.
What's the number five horse?
Awesome Gem.
I like Flores.
All right, good luck. 115.
All right, thanks.
All right, play the triple out there. There you go.
There you go. You helped to do it out.
Enough information for that young man.
Yeah, that guy has. You must help him because he's like he does. Like he did say, he does call. You know,
he likes tips. Yeah. I've never given him a good one though. Well, I don't think I've ever given him a winner.
Well, he calls back consistently for your tips.
He's a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, maybe. Hang up. Don't laugh like that.
All right. Mark and Covina, you're on 97.1.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to tell Brian that the only change that Hillary's going to bring to the White House is menopause. So
Hey-oh!
Is that well? All right.
She's probably already gone through menopause, right?
I would think so. She's 61, yeah. I think so. Gina?
Can you imagine what a day of campaigning it's like for any of those cats? What a pain in the ass that is.
Oh.
They're up at what time in the morning?
5 a.m., I would assume.
And they're up until 10 o'clock at night?
I would assume. 11
o'clock?
They probably do their last event. They probably do an event at like 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night. They go to someone's house or something.
God dang, man.
I mean, it's just grueling, and you wouldn't want to do it. I mean, you wouldn't want to do it.
Hey, Rick, who are you going to vote for this year?
You know what? I never say.
You don't?
No, I never say, so I'm not going to say since I never do.
Why don't you say?
I just don't, but... Imagine all of the work involved with the campaign, and then you win, and then you've got the toughest job ever. God dang it.
All right. Totally open phones when we come back. It's Conway and Whitman, plus Danny Bonaducci's blow-up this afternoon. Exciting hour coming up at 10 o'clock, and then 11 o'clock, Gretchen, sans Lukes.
Look out, Gretchen.
I don't think the Lukes is here today.
The Lux is on
the road.
All right,
we're live on 97.1 Free FM.
Dance, dance, dance.
I'm struggling too.
What is this dance called? The dance of the video.
Dance, dance, dance.
I'm struggling too.
Dance, dance, dance.
I don't know what I'm doing.